Good morning. Years ago, I was in a place where we didn't have a good church. I lived in Michigan, and I began to pray, Lord, guide me to a church that has truth, and I especially had a burden for missions. And the truth is, where I was at, I saw a lot of cold hyper-Calvinism where the doctrines of grace could be found. There just wasn't much in the way of evangelism, wasn't much in the way of missions. And that's what my heart longed for. I was only 2 years saved. And as I was praying, I remember coming into the fall of 1992, and I was praying, Lord, please lead me to a church that holds to the truth. They're baptistic and they're evangelistic and given to missions. And right about that, I lived in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area. And right about that time, the company I worked for sent me to San Antonio, Texas. And through just a number of providences on the Lord's part, I ended up sitting at a table for lunch. John, you remember that day still? And it was a long table, and I remember sitting across that table from a gentleman, and he was telling me about his church. And he didn't probably realize at that time, but inside, my heart was on fire, because he was describing to me exactly the kind of church that I was looking for. And in just a matter of a few months, he offered me a job down there so that I could move down just to join that church. And through a whole number of events that have transpired since then, I and 11 others came out of that church that I moved down there to join. We started a new one in the inner city of San Antonio. And in the course of time, John and his wife, John Seitzma and his wife, Judy, they joined our church. John became an elder there, and John had done some work prior to that in India. John and I traveled to India for the first time. Both of us went there the first time for each of us in 2002, if I remember right. That was 10 years after we met, and now another 10 years have gone by, and John is heading up a missionary team there in India. And it's with great joy that I want to introduce John Seitzma to you all.
Father, we desire this morning and for all of this conference that you would receive all the glory and that you would stir the hearts of your people, that they would be moved to live far beyond where they've been before for each one of us, Lord. You don't want us to stand still. You want our lives to grow. You want us to be filled with the Spirit. You want us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to grow in grace. Father, help us. Help us not to shrink back from battle, knowing that blessing and battle go together. And Father, you continue to show your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for that. And we're begging and praying that you would save the lost in our midst, even today. Lord, please have mercy. Please meet with us in a special way. Bring revival. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We surely can't talk about missions from the standpoint of some human strategy. Everything to do with missions, to do with India or any other country, has been God's program from the beginning. And it's His purpose that will be accomplished, and His name will be lifted up in all the earth. And I know that the theme this morning that was allotted to me as an introduction to India, and I'd probably want to broaden that a little bit to the surrounding areas, because they're all interconnected, by language, by culture, by people moving across borders. You can't quite define things by one national border. But I want to start really with my own introduction to India and how that came about. And Brother Tim gave his testimony, and I just want to take that back just a little bit farther. And it really was prompted in my mind by what Brother Mack was sharing last night. You know, how God uses his local churches in ways that we just fail to understand. Really, that little church between two cornfields in Elmendorf, Texas, was nothing that had any attraction to most people. And yet God attracted us to it because he was there and his presence was there. And there was a vision that God had given to the pastor of that church just a few years before. In the early 80s, three families gathering together. Three families in a little old building in the middle of two cornfields, diligently praying week after week, Lord, give us, raise up laborers. Give us laborers that we can send to other parts of the world. Raise up laborers that can be used for planting churches. God honored that prayer. Why, most people would have been thinking a church. They'd hardly think two or three families was a church. And yet united together, convinced that God was going to honor his institution. There was a prayer and a burden that I believe God answered. And God brought people together with a burden and raised them up to go to other parts of the world. Raised them up to go out of that church to start other churches. And so I see that what God has given to us was an answer to the prayer of just a handful of people at the beginning. Small beginnings have great endings if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. Some of you may know that song. So it has nothing to do. I know there's been a lot of concern, even in these first sessions, about those who are just stranded off in the middle of nowhere and no fellowship. When you get to another part of the world, it's that way. Village after village with absolutely no other Christian. And God begins with small beginnings. A mustard seed beginning. God will use it if he is in it. What he begins, he will finish. But my allotment to preach this morning is my allotment to have an introduction to India. Brother, for me, it's just a tremendous privilege. God has given me the privilege to be there and to go there. And to go back there after things have come along to hinder us from being there and overruling those things to bring us back. But India is a peculiar place. It's a very interesting place. Most of you know where India is, and that it's the second largest nation on the face of the earth. But when we begin to look at what's happening in the world, and you look at the world now with a population of over 7 billion people, it's mind-boggling. I used to think only a few years back that, oh my, we have missionaries going to every part of the world, and soon the work of evangelism is all done. Everyone will know about Jesus. In the reality, when you really see it, when you're there firsthand, you realize that in so many ways, we're going backwards so rapidly. We're living in a part of the world over there where there's thousands of villages without one single testimony, without one single Christian, without any church. When William Carey came to India, that we didn't have census bureaus then, but the best estimates, there were maybe 200 million people in India. Now, when they did the census in 1951, there were 360-some million people in India. And from then till now, basically my lifetime, in 60 years, now there's over 1.2 billion people in India. In the very state we're in, we have over 26,000 villages. For me, that's another thing that's really settled into my mind now as I see it more clearly. We're here in America and we look at San Antonio and Houston and Dallas and we see one city after another. But when you get to that region of the world, you see thousands of villages, one after another. And they're not acquainted with what's going on in the rest of the world. And they're not searching the internet. Many of them have no electricity. And they're living in extreme poverty. And in some areas, like the state of Assam where we are in, the people are getting poorer. And things are getting more difficult. And the population is growing. Brethren, the fields are so white for harvest. There's so much work that needs to be done in places that have no witness, that absolutely are unreached, and we can reach them by God's grace, by the means, by the open doors that He has provided for us in our generation. Within barely more than a day, we can be to the far side of the world. And we can be in a village that has no testimony of Jesus Christ whatsoever. And we could say that for more than just India. And we could say a lot about India. But brethren, Jesus said it so clearly. The fields are white for harvest. The laborers are few. Very few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would raise up laborers. And brethren, if I could just communicate that burden of my heart, that God has really given me an expectation that God is going to raise up an army of laborers. He's encouraged my heart so much in these last years, in these last months, as God has begun to raise up laborers. And they may not all be of the caliber of some professor, but common people that have an absolute burden to make Jesus Christ known. That really value the preciousness of Jesus Christ and want to make Him known. Brother, I just want to give testimony to the fact that these two young ladies that were here, and God raised them up with a burden to come over there, it has been such a blessing to me. Such a blessing. Martha came the first time, and then the two, Sierra and Amy, have come with a purpose to stay and to work. And God has used that. And then God brought John to us, and I'm going to have him come up and share a few minutes with you too. And united our hearts together, and we see God working in ways that convinces that His presence is with us, and that is just the beginning of something. And so, brethren, we're weak. I sit there sometimes and I say, how did I end up here? How did I get the privilege to come to this part of the world? How do I end up with the privilege to be in this part of India? And then I think, brethren, it said, encouraging one another. I'm convinced that if God gets a hold of our hearts, there are many, many, many people in America and in other parts of the world that would find the same joy in being in places that are unreached, that have never heard the message. I think so many people that would be so far more better qualified than I am, brethren, but God needs to stir the heart. And that's my desire and prayer, that God would stir our hearts today, tomorrow, and the time we have together here. And it encourages me that not just one church, but that different churches together have this united burden. What a blessing. What an expectation. Because if God raises up laborers, that's an indication to us that God is going to do something. When Jesus called the 12, He didn't say to the 12, "Now I'm going to send you forth. Let's pray for the money to send him." Never. Didn't say anything about the money. Pray for laborers. And if we're going to pray for laborers like he taught the 12, we had be better ready to understand that it might be us. If you look at the order of things, he told the 12 to pray before he actually sent them. And then he ordained 70 more. And what did he tell them to do before he sent them? No, not pray for money. Pray for more laborers, because the harvest is so great and the laborers are so few. So it seems more clear to me than ever that as God raises up laborers, it's with the connection of stirring us up to pray for even more and expect that he will give us more. He isn't commanding us to pray for something that he will not give us. He says, pray for the Spirit of God. He isn't telling us to pray for the Spirit of God without an intention to give us the Spirit. We need His Spirit. We need His presence. But we need an army. Sometimes I think the tradition of Christianity has so shaped our thinking. We're thinking of a missionary here and a missionary there and an a missionary there for that place and this specific place. But we're not thinking of the Lord raising up armies. And the church is an army. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against His church. And as our churches become on fire, like the Moravians, in 25 years, sent out more missionaries than all of England in 200 years. I can just envision it. If God begins to stir in our hearts, each one of the churches represented here is going to begin looking at themselves as a military operation that's commissioned by God to do damage against Satan and his kingdom, to break down the gates of hell. They cannot hold us. They cannot keep us back. For me personally, for my wife, the testimony that what God has done in our own life in removing the fear of people, removing the fear of what are the Hindus going to do? What are the Muslims going to do? Brother, it's been so freeing. We don't have to live there worrying about what they're going to do. If it's in God's purpose that we be put out of the country, so be it. There's so many countries right around there that where we can go. And if our work is done and our life is taken away, we go to glory. God wants us to live in the fullness and for the reality of what He's given us. He saved us from our sins. They're taken away. We're restored to Him. For us to live is Christ, to die is gain. We've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. May the Lord so stir the hearts of each one of us that we're done with living our own life. And it's Jesus Christ. He's our life. He's going to move us. He's going to guide us. This country, that country, this place, that place. We want to live in the fullness of the freedom of that. Lord, help us. So we could talk a lot about India. We could talk about the poverty. We could talk about children sitting in dumpsters eating out of the garbage dumpster. We could talk about people dying along the side of the road. But in the end, it's the name of Jesus Christ that must be lifted up. We're not about a humanitarian adventure. We're about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, preserve us and keep us that we don't destroy that. That we don't bring reproach on His name. I thank God that He's raising up younger people. Thank God for the privilege of being there. But Brother John Dees, it's been a real blessing to me that He's sent him our way. And that He's united our hearts together. And He's given us a common burden for that region of the world. And I look forward to others that God's going to raise up. And I said, John, you need to share something. And so most of you know the name, and I'm going to ask John to come
Well, I just give thanks to the Lord, praise the Lord for this opportunity to come back. And I want to especially thank all of you for praying, those of you that have been praying. We've really sensed that. We've really benefited from that. And so I want to ask you, please, to keep praying. We really need prayer out there, and it really does make a difference. And that's really what I desire, pretty much of everything I want to say. I just ask you all to keep praying. And also, many of you know who I am. You know me just by my face, but some of you probably don't. And if you're interested to learn more, I send out an email about once a month. And so come find me, and I'll write down your email. And that way you can hear about what the Lord is doing. It is very much a small beginning, but, you know, this morning I was thinking of that verse in Romans where he says, who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see with eagerness, expectation, we're waiting for it. And that's what I feel. I feel like the Lord is with us. God has begun to open hearts and do things and save people. So we need your prayers. I did want to read one Bible verse, and then I'm finished. This is from Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. This is the question that I've thought of many times. Why is it that Christians should care about other parts of the world? Why not just care about our families and our own town? Why should every Christian have concern and thought and prayer for other parts of the world? Isaiah 49, verse 6, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." It's too small for Christ just to be glorified in one place. He's worthy of more. The more we find out about the Lord, the more we grow in our own relationship with the Lord and love for the Lord, our hearts ought to break when we see people just living for vanity. And when we know that there are places where nobody worships Christ, where there aren't churches, where there needs to be Bibles translated or Bibles given out. So that's what I wanted to say. The Lord is worthy. May the Lord be glorified. Thank you all so much. I really want to make a point here. And I hope those of you that have a heart to serve God, I hope this will help you, because I didn't always know this. But when you want to serve the Lord, when you want to tell people the truth, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you want to say so. You want to tell people. I didn't know this, but you know what? To do that, it requires faith. It requires faith. If you want to go out and you want to share with people and you want to walk by sight, you're going to have a real hard time. If you want to go out and you want to sow the seed, and as soon as you put it in the ground, you want to see it spring up, you're going to have a hard time. And you know what you're going to assume? You know what you're going to think? You're going to think, God's not with me, the Holy Spirit's not in me, or I'm not anointed, or I still need this extra thing. What am I doing, even wasting my time? I'm not gifted like that person. I'll just go home. I'll just do something else. Maybe you were exactly where the Lord wanted you. Here's the thing. When God speaks to you and He gives you a burden to share, have faith. Jesus said it. Have faith in God. Can you put your faith in God? Can you walk by faith and not by sight? Will you give up? Will you grow weary in doing good after a short time? There's exhortation after exhortation in the Bible to believe God, to sow in hope. This verse came to me the other day while we were at the conference in Romans 8. It says, who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. You've got to persevere. You've got to hope in God. You've got to keep your eyes on him. You've got to say, I know the truth. I know what the Lord has said to me.
I don't care if no one believes me. I don't care if they all reject me. I'm going to go back again. I'm going to go out again. I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep praying for that person. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Have faith in God. If you want to serve the Lord, you need faith. You need the shield of faith. The devil is going to throw every kind of arrow at you. He's going to tell you you're not a worthy servant. He's going to tell you to pack up and go home. He's going to tell you find some different strategy or method to use. Don't just preach the word. That's not enough. He'll tell you everything to get you off course. Have faith in God.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at illbehonest.com.